Hey everybody, my name is Troy, and I'm the DM for Platinum Legends, an actual play PTU podcast following players Dan, Robbie, and Tyson as they journey through the Sinnoh region in search of the lost champion, Cynthia.
We tackle many obstacles, like battling Pokemon, searching for hidden treasures, and scariest of all, interpersonal relationships.
On last week's episode of Platinum Legends, Jack went on a solo mission. While he was on that solo mission, Fisk and Addison had their own missions that will be recapped here.
Addison went to his room that he got in the barn, and he went in there, and he went to go, he saw the room, and he saw there was, like, a mud bray and I think a mill tank were in the room, he sent out, Momo, his Shinx, and then he sent out his new shiny Starly. And he went to go send out Baskers, and he was, like, sad, kind of missed him for a second. And then, because Rowan was looking at him. And then he sort of got to know his shiny Starly better, named her Lulu. They kind of got to know each other, and she was sort of, like, ashamed of being different. And, you know, they had a very cute bonding moment, and it was super great. Lulu, best character in Platinum Legends. And then I had a... Oh, and then I called Riley, and I heard, like, a weird message, like, a weird video message. It was mostly static, but there was a video message. And then I called Cheryl, because Riley wasn't picking up, and I just sort of had, like, a conversation with her and gave her an update on what happened and, like, what our situation was. And I found out that there's, like, some weird, like, transmission thing going on whenever people try to contact Riley, and it just plays the same message every time you call them. So, like, same voice, same video, same everything, every time, exact copy. So, I think something might be going on there, but that was the gist of it. Oh yeah, I did have a call with Oscar and Aris, and Oscar got very uncomfortable when I asked him about the Ice Stone. And then we said we would talk about it later. Oh, and I told Aris to try calling Riley to see what she got on her end when she called him.
Okay, so I was in the barn, and I was playing with a puppy, Rockruff. And Rockruff seemed to be a little standoffish at first, but I knew I could win him over. Rodney came in, and Rockruff was all happy to see him, so I knew that Rockruff wasn't inherently a bad pup, because there is no such thing as a bad pup. And, so we got to talking, and we got to talking about my Smoochum, and how I haven't really been able to train my Smoochum, because I've been nervous about it being a baby. And he brought up his Lapras, and how Lapras was also an egg Pokemon, and he was real nervous to train Lapras at first, but, It was beneficial to just let go of all those worries and be able to freely train the Pokemon and make them stronger until you're more comfortable about them battling. So we did a battle out back in their little stadium they have so I could train Smoochum. Yeah. And Smoochum honestly kicked major ass. Like, no holds barred, just fucking 1-2 bam boom.
Smoochum froze Grottle.
Yeah, Smoochum froze Grottle.
And licked and freaking
kept looking back at me like hell yeah, and I was just like hell yeah. And we won the battle. I won't go into too many battle details. You can listen to that episode for those. But we won the battle, and Smoochum was so happy.
That's so cute. Smoochum was very happy.
Smoochum likes to hold hands with everyone, and it's kind of a blessing.
It is a blessing. Oh yeah, didn't Smoochum hold hands with what's-his-name walking, and you? Wasn't Smoochum, like, between you guys when
he was bringing Rodney, you over? Yeah,
yeah, yeah, yeah. And then Rodney said that his ex had a Jinx.
Yeah.
Ex? His ex-girlfriend?
No.
Ex-boyfriend. Rodney's
ex-boyfriend. He's a homosexual.
Oh my god.
Big
Unlike
gay.
Any and of us.
Just so our viewers know, Platinum Legends is a strictly Catholic podcast. And we condemn the homosexuals.
I would like to say we're actually a strictly Mormon podcast.
Strictly Mormon.
As in Mormon.
Yeah. We're strictly Mormon, guys.
Yeah, Mormon. Yeah. Oh, honey, Mormon? More like Mormon, honey. Yes.
Please never say that again. I regret it enough as it is.
In the words of Rivers Cuomo, everyone's a little queer.
I believe it was the great American painter Bob Ross who said, the key to a vagina is courage.
So, Fisk, Tyson, why don't you tell me a little bit about your recap?
I talked to a girl named Luna. Done.
Freaking
sweet.
Okay, all right. So, we get to the barn. I am the only one that's, like, alone, quote unquote, because Addison's with Oscar.
No, he talked to Oscar.
Talked to Oscar on
the phone.
Oh, yeah, and you called Riley too. That's what it was.
Yeah,
and then Dan was with Rodney, and Eris was with Oscar.
Yeah.
So I was in the barn chilling, getting to know Vulpix and getting some actual one-on-one time with Murkrow, which are named Avicii and Nebula in reverse respective order. Murkrow is Avicii. Nebula is the Bulbix. So we're chilling. There's some Torchix. Murkrow's going around playing with them, being all cute, being all, like, quirky aunt that's, like, fun and spicy, all good shit.
Fun aunt.
Yeah. Low-key, this Murkrow is based off my real-life aunt. Just, like...
Oh, love that.
Real low-key. They're, like... They're... Yes. And then... Some character development and bonding happened up until I hear a thud outside the barn. This fucking crazy magic bitch just, like, phases through the fucking barn door. Like, oh, yeah. Actually just walks right through. She falls through it first. She, like, face plants, is halfway through the door, picks herself up, and then walks through. But she fucking straight through the door. Didn't open the door. Door is shut. Door is solid up. Barrier. She's like, fuck you. I'm going through. She comes inside, and she's just like, yo, I'm a level with you for a sec, I'm looking for this thing. I heard you guys have seen it. We've tracked it to this location. What's the deal? I'm just like, I don't think I should tell you that. Especially since not only do I have no idea who you are, but you just walked through a door. there's some back and forth, there's some trading of very coded information that's both not answering and also giving context to the questions. I find out her name is Luna, and she's got some partner outside who's, like, with her. They're working for someone or something? Question mark? But it's very nondescript exactly who or what it is. There are definitely details that I'm forgetting, but I remember them saying they were working for something called Cell?
The Cells.
And
maybe it was the Cell, but I think it was the Cells.
Something like that.
Dan, cut that out.
Wait, no, continue, Tyson. You're almost
Dan,
done. You got
keep
this.
That in.
Tyson.
So, there's more talking. A lot of, like, your standard, I'm not going to give you the information that you're looking for, but I'm going to try and get as much out of you that I can from both sides, not really getting anywhere. Because, you know, yeah. I remember there was, like, a moment of, oh, you had this vision too, right? And Fisk was like, maybe, but you should tell me about yours first, because what? Because up to this point, I've, like, more or less ignored the occurrence of both of these visions. Was it two? Oh, yes, it was two.
Yeah, but then you have third one in this.
Yeah. Well, I'm getting there.
So we
wrap up the attempts at digging information out of each other. She bails walking through the wall again, like full Danny Phantom figuring out their powers style.
Gotta catch a moxie.
I forgot that that song had Gotta Catch 'Em All in it. That's much too good of a comparison. Dan, can you cut that out? I don't want to seem smart.
It does say that.
Gotta catch 'em all, she's Danny. So, catch 'em, gotta catch 'em all, she's Danny.
Tyson, you got this. Yes. Home stretch. All right. Home stretch. We'll get to the game.
She leaves by walking through. I think she, like, misses the door. She walks through, and when she does, she leaves this, like, sigil thing on the wall where she'd passed through. It looks like a skull with some wings?
I think so. I think.
And it's very, very faint. It's like almost, I think it was described as a layer of dust or similar to one.
Yeah,
where
yeah.
It doesn't really leave any sort of imprint, but it is noticeable if you're, like, looking for it. So I walk over, I try and, like, see if it seems familiar, if I can figure anything out about it. I go to touch it, and I have another one of those visions. I actually cannot remember what happened in the vision, and it's upsetting me.
You saw her with the thing, with the Giratina.
Oh, right. Nine so, in a previous vision, I'd seen what Fisk doesn't know is Giratina and Zapdos in that lake place with some significance. And in this one, I see her, what's it, bowing to the Giratina?
Yes, with a, yeah. what you don't with know is the, on it.
With, oh yeah, yes. And it immediately puts the idea in my head that, oh shit, they're, like, actually involved and might have answers that I kind of need, and that I'm going to need to find them again. And then that was the end of it, and then I probably went to bed or something. Who knows?
Maybe yeah, you went to bed with
Jack
things...
after that.
You did an intuition
check. Oh, yeah, I
also check.
Snuggled with all the Pokemon.
You did, that was
because
cute.
Because it was cute. It was so cute.
You did an intuition check that told you stuff about, like, Konolov, and
yes,
Caitlin
that is,
and
Addison. There was a person that I don't remember. I guess you said Caitlin?
Caitlin, yeah, from Unova.
Gotcha. Okay, so she's relevant. Addison might know something, and I need to talk to him. But I've needed to talk to him because ever since the hammer incident from, like, how many episodes ago was that? Like, 5?
So many.
And that just hasn't happened because shit's been going down.
Also, because you kind of hate each other.
Yeah, just, well, I feel like
it's, that's secondary at the moment to the fact that we were, you know.
I mean, like, sometimes Addison would be like, man, like, my fucking partner almost died. And then Fisk would be like, haha, you fucking suck. Well, your Pokemon almost died. And Fisk is like, why doesn't Addison, why, I don't understand why this guy thinks he's, why he's so angry all the time.
Why doesn't Addison make me?
Why is she make me? Well, I don't think he's like that, but...
I don't think I ever made fun of your, like, unconscious partner.
You did. That's why I tried to punch you in the head, and then I rolled another natural one.
Oh, wait,
I don't remember this.
Oh, well, so lucky you. Okay, also try send you a DM asking you a question when you get that. You can look at it at your leisure.
Was this when the tree was falling?
That was after this. After that, yeah.
What? I don't remember
yes.
this at all.
Yes.
Okay.
I don't know what you said. I'm sorry. I wasn't listening. What did you say? What was the
Who?
Question? You.
What?
What
question?
You, Tyson. What
I didn't
what
ask a question.
Oh, sorry. Okay. I was just saying
I don't remember the incident of me making fun of his Houndour eating shit.
It happened at some point, probably. Yeah. I don't know.
But anyway, I wouldn't put it past me. So
okay, well, that's fair.
But yeah, Robbie, yes. That's fine.
Okay. Cool. Just want to check.
Okay, so friends, it is now the next day in the barn. Who do you think would wake up first naturally?
Definitely not me.
I was just gonna say I'm last.
Addison. I was gonna say probably Addison. Addison probably has an alarm clock. Oh boy, 6 a.m.
Boy, 6 a.m. Okay,
and then actually I wake up immediately next, and I'm like, I think Addison's awake.
I actually smell him, his waking eyes.
There's a different smell when he's awake. I should go check on him.
Yes.
Addison will.
Also, you should totally like walk up next to him, just whisper that.
Addison sits up and he just hears.
You smell different when you're awake.
I hate. That just happened. I hate that I made the joke and then you said it louder and then everyone laughed. I'm very angry right now.
Oh no. It's okay, we'll turn it up on the audio.
I didn't want to improve. I emphasized the joke.
Don't worry, Tyson. We'll cut out Addison saying it.
Yeah, so don't worry, Tyson. I'm a fucking loser.
I appreciate it.
Okay, so Addison, you wake up first.
Yes.
What do you do? When you wake up, you had Lulu and Momo both out, right?
Yeah, I didn't put them away. I let them have control of the barn and just said not to bother the other Pokemon that were
okay.
in there.
When you wake up, Lulu is sleeping at, like, the end of, like, the hay bed or whatever, that you were sleeping on. And Momo is running around in circles with the mud spray. And, and the Miltank is still sleeping.
Good. I'm glad this Miltank was put in here to really whip that Mudbray in shape. Really doing an excellent job.
Yeah. And Mudbray seems like he's like trying to get at Momo, but Momo's just like having a good time. Momo thinks that they're just playing a game.
Yeah, Momo's like, haha, this is fun.
Yeah.
So Addison wakes up and he says, Momo, what did I tell you about bothering the other Pokemon? He'll get up and try to sort of like is she in the thing? Like, is she in the pen? Like,
yeah, she's in the pen. She's in the pen with Mudbray.
Okay, so in that case, Addison will just sort of, like, walk. He doesn't want to get into the pen, but he'll stand there and, like, open his arms up and, like, try to, like, get Momo to, like, come to him.
Roll to charm.
Okay, roll to charm. Okay, yeah. Well, that's not Addison's strong suit, but he'll do his best. It's just 2d6.
It's one person's strong suit here.
Yeah,
that's why we work so well together.
Okay, what's you know, I think that's good enough. I think Momo is comfortable with you. Her loyalty's probably high.
Yeah, I think, isn't, and so she'll jump into your arms.
Her nature is jolly, so she'll just jump into your arms. She'll be like, cool. "Yes, bitch."
Yeah, Addison will just sort of like smile, like sort of be like, I have a feeling you're going to get yourself into a lot of trouble.
And Mudbray looks a little bit angry at you guys, and Momo sticks her tongue out at it.
Addison probably, he has, like a candy bar or some snack on him. He'll just fish into, like, his bag and toss it to the Mudbray.
And he accepts it graciously and and takes it away and is happy with
and then the chocolate kills the goddamn horse.
And then you hear a knocking on your door.
I'm awake.
And then when it opens, you see Professor Rowan, and next to him is Baskers, and Baskers comes running over to you.
Addison smiles and like sort of tucks Momo under one arm and then opens up the other arm so when Baskers comes in, he can hug both of them.
And Baskers will go in for that hug. And Rowan is gonna bring you over Baskers' Pokeball, and he's gonna say, Rodney and Oscar's family are up for breakfast right now. If you want to come up, and I can tell you a little bit about some of the research that I found out about your Houndour while we walk and talk.
Please, I would. I is well. I would ask if, how is he now? Is he okay?
He's stable. I think that he went through, obviously he went through a type shift, and he is definitely now biologically a fire, dark, and ice type Pokemon. Half of his fire, like Houndours have an inner core of fire, and half of it was turned into frost. So there will be some moves that he is unable to learn now that he previously could, that were fire moves, but he has now able to learn certain ice moves as well. I do, however, think that he takes a little device out of, and I'm assuming you guys are walking and talking now.
Yeah.
Yeah, and he takes a little device out of his pocket, and it just looks like a sphere with a big button on the top. And he says, it's just a small little thing. And he says, if you ever evolve Baskers, based off my research, it seems like there is going to be a release of energy. He will likely stay the types that he is, but there will be a release of this ice energy that has been built up in him from this type shifting that went on. So I want you to press this button if he ever is to evolve, and step a little bit away, because you don't want to get hit with an ice blast like that, because I don't think it'll be fun.
Yes, it's happened once before, actually. I would rather not go through it again.
And he's going to say, once that's happened, if that happens, I would love to take this back, this item that I'm handing you, mm-hmm. And so that I can do a little bit more research and find out some more about this type shifting that he went through.
Yes, of course. I would be happy to help.
Also, if you ever wish to undo the effects of the type shift, it would have to be before he evolves, and you would have to do this ritual. I don't know much about it, but I know it involves the elements that are the types that are that he gained a weakness to, essentially. So fire, rock, steel, and fighting.
Okay, just out of character, since it's neutral fire, does that still count? Would it still...
Yeah.
Okay,
yeah.
Okay, I just want to make sure. Okay.
It's all... He's going to say, if you want to... I don't know much about the ritual. I do know there is a woman in... There's a gym leader in Heartholm City named Fantina who might know a little bit more about this because she has more experience with type shifting. Most of my research involving it has to do with their evolutions. And he's going to see Lulu walking with you. And he is going to say, was that Starly also type shifted during this, or was that natural?
I believe it to be natural from my first impressions.
And Rowan is going to go up to Lulu, and he is going to ask, were you always an ice type? Were you always icy or whatever?
Were you always icy or whatever?
Were you always an ice type? And
chirps.
Lulu is going to feel a little uncomfortable about this because her ice type-ness is not necessarily something that she's proud of, but
yeah.
She is going to just nod. And he's going to say, okay. And he's just going to go back to...
Yeah, cool.
He's going to say, interesting, and then go back to what he was saying. And he's going to say, like I said, I don't know much about this ritual. All I know is it involves the, anti-types, or the types that it is weak to. But, like I said, if you want to know more about it, if you think that it's something that Baskers is going to need or that you want to go investigate, Fantina is somebody that you should... try to get in contact with.
Addison's gonna kind of take a look over Baskers, just give him a once over, and just sort of look to Rowan and be like, well, is this type shifting causing him any harm?
No, it seems that it's changed his entire biological makeup, and he just is that type now. It's as if he was born that way. The only thing is that there is an extra buildup of energy that happens when Pokemon evolve, which is why if he were to evolve, it would be a bigger release of energy that you would. Most of the time, you don't really notice the release of energy that Pokemon have when they evolve, but in this case, you would because of the effects that happen to him.
I see.
That's the only thing that I think would really affect him. I mean, other than potentially his own feelings about being an ice type now. Yeah. But he seems to be fine with it.
What is Addison look at? What's Baskers doing when Addison like looks back at him like as they're walking? What's Baskers doing?
Being naughty.
Good. Excellent.
Your
descriptions are so vivid, I feel like I'm there.
Just rolling around in a pile of Mudbray shit.
I think he is kind of like walking and talking to Lulu. Well, not like talking, but you know, like Houndoury talking to Lulu. And they seem to be in conversation and just like not really paying attention to what you're doing. You know, I think that they're doing a little bit of bonding, it seems.
Aw, that's cute. Good for them.
And, so you are about to come up to breakfast. So is there anything else that you wanted to say to Rowan or do during this scene?
Not that I can think of. I'm just trying to think off the top of my head. No, I think that's probably it.
Okay. And so we'll go on to somebody else now and then go back. I would say the next person to wake up would be Fisk, probably.
I think it's me because I seriously did wake up when I smelled that he woke up.
Oh my
god. Oh yeah. That's fair. So you've been awake for a little bit.
Why is that
fair? That wasn't a meme. That was canon.
That's fair. It's fair. No, it's canon. Because Dan, put on your sheet. Can sniff Addison anywhere.
Can smell Addison from 10 nautical miles.
Someday there's going to be a campaign where you get lost in the woods and I'll be like, oh, I got this. And I'm like, I'm just going to be like a truffle smelling pig.
Yes.
And Baskers is just going to fucking stare at you like, oh, shit. I'm gonna get my shit together.
Worst
case.
Too
much eye contact with Baskers. This is my house.
This is my boy.
Robbie, this may be the worst campaign, but you got Lulu, so I'm just saying.
I did, so it's actually the best campaign.
She's pretty great. I love all of your newest Pokemon. All of your newest Pokemon is my favorite one.
Yeah, same, actually.
Jack, you, speaking of your newest Pokemon, you are going to wake up. If you remember, I believe that there was a Rapidash and a Ponyta with you in your thing, in your stable. Mm-hmm. And if there wasn't, retcon, you know? Yeah.
now there was.
There may have been another thing, but one of those were there, you know, So what were we talking about? Oh, Smoochum, you wake up. And you see Paris, like, have its, like, claws around Smoochum's stomach trying to hold it back while it is reaching its hand out to try and touch the flames of one of the Rapidash's, mane.
Okay, that was so I wake up and
yeah, that's
push Rock, I push Rockruff off my face because we bonded overnight.
Oh, yeah, Rockruff's on you, yeah.
And I walk over, and I say, hey guys, what's up? And Paris is incredibly distraught about this, but I reach out to Rapidash to see if it's friendly.
And Rapidash, probably doesn't sniff you, really. It just looks up at you and looks down at Smoochum, and it puts its hands on, or puts its horse nose, into your hand.
Snout,
and lets you pet it.
I guess.
Snout? It lets you pet it. It lets you pet it.
It lets you pet it.
It lets you pet it. That's but what it's not like I getting cute about it. It just lets you pet it, you know?
Yeah. I pick up Smoochum to see if Rapidash will let Smoochum pet it.
And Rapidash will. And I think Paris is still hanging on to Smoochum, trying to trying to hold, you know, trying to mom her.
Mm-hmm. Yes, and I put my arm around Paris to hold it in my other arm, and we're just having a good time with this Rapidash.
Yeah, and Snowrun is still on your head.
Yeah,
Snowrun did not leave your head during the whole sleeping situation and waking up.
Snowrun always sleeps on my head because it thinks I'm gonna get sick and die in the middle of the night.
Yeah,
good.
It's more of an anxiety thing than anything.
So yeah, you pet this Rapidash and it seems to be cool with it, and Rockruff is jumping around, playing around for a little bit, and then it starts like scratching at the door.
Okay, I walk over and I open the door.
And you immediately smell Addison and and like food, like breakfasty food, like bacon or, you know, grump pig bacon. Oh wait, wasn't there a grump pig in your thing?
I
think it was a grump pig and a Ponyta. So that whole time, Ponyta, right guys? Yeah.
Yep. Nailed it.
Yeah, I said Ponyta, not Rapidash.
Yeah, and
Control F, find and replace Rapidash with Ponyta. That's how audio works, right?
Yeah, just bleep it out.
Yeah,
just bleep out every time I say Rapidash.
Exactly.
And yeah, okay, that's fine. So anyways, yeah, you smell like bacon and eggs and that kind of, you know, breakfasty food.
And I say to myself, I love the smell of Addison in the morning.
I hate it. I feel harassed in real life.
So Robbie, I'm just gonna show up at your house.
Yes.
I smelled you.
Oh, sorry, I smelled you. Or wait, because it's not okay. It's not socially acceptable.
Rockruff is going to pull at your shoe, and try to lead you towards the food.
I am going to very, very readily follow.
Okay, and then, yeah, you end up, you actually see Addison and Rowan before they actually sit down at the table. You see them walking for a little bit.
I'm gonna say, Addison, I smelled that you were awake.
What?
Is that it? Is that the end?
I lean in to kiss him.
No. Addison says out loud, no. And Lily just twitches him away.
And I just say, oh, okay. And continue on like nothing happened.
Addison will also try to continue on like nothing happened for his own sanity.
I'm so ready for Jack to become full Yandere. Is that what it's called?
Tsundere.
The murdery one.
Yes.
Yeah. I'm ready for that. I'm ready for Dan to become future diary chick.
Yes.
Oh, Mira and Nikia.
Yeah.
Or no, Yunogasai, what am I saying?
Yeah, Yunogasai.
Mira and Nikia's name of the anime.
I just watched it.
Did you?
Anyways. I didn't. I just watched it. So, Fisk. Oh, so I'm assuming you guys are at breakfast now.
Yeah.
Fisk.
Yep.
You wake up to knocking on your door. Very loud knocking.
Call out groggily 5 more minutes.
And they'll say, okay, I'll time it. And you can hear Eris.
Are they counting out loud?
Yes. You can hear Eris' voice counting. 1, 2, 3.
All right, we're not doing this. 5 minutes later. Done.
Is Eris my dad?
Are you my dad?
Every single second is a slightly more intense, grueling agony as I realize she's not going to stop.
And as this is happening, you see, as soon as like the knocking started, Torchix and Murkrow all get up in unison and start flocking around.
Nice.
Just good. Making noises. There's a little bit of nonsense, but they seem to be having fun. It makes no sense what they're doing.
Okay. I'm going to time it so that as soon as she hits whatever she's counting to for 5 minutes, I don't know if it's exact seconds or what, or if she's like stopping at the minute interval on every 60. But I'm going to be at the door, ready and waiting. She's going to hit 5 minutes. I'm going to open the door, and I'm just going to, like, shove her face in the opposite direction.
And
not, like, forcefully, just, like, sleepily and very, like, please leave. But I'm up, so I'm going to stay that way.
And she's going to say, oh, you're awake.
Yes.
I am. How are you awake? What a coincidence.
How very astute of you.
She's going to say, everybody's up at breakfast right now.
Good for them.
I wanted to come get you and see if you wanted to join us. And
sure.
Before she said that, while she was talking, she mm-hmm. stepped into your room just a little bit. Just like the inner-ish area of the door. And after you say sure, she's going to like turn back around to go out, and she is going to notice the dust on that you had touched previously
mm-hmm.
from the vision, and she's going to take one finger and she's going to like swipe at it for a moment, look at it in her hand, and then like sprinkle it off and start walking and not say anything about it.
Good. Cause I don't want to talk to her about it.
Did you say, cause you don't want to, is that what you said?
Yes.
Okay, good.
Any excuse I could have not to talk to her, I'm taking.
I like how you switch back and forth a lot of how you feel about her. Well, last episode, you decided that she was an alien or something like
exactly.
that.
Exactly.
Oh, right. I forgot that happened.
Yeah.
I forgot about that, too. Any excuse to not interact with her
is a good excuse. And while you guys are walking, she's going to ask, do you still want to do that battle idea that we had yesterday?
Oh, yeah. Probably. I'm not setting it up, though. One of y'all can organize that. I need coffee or something.
And she's gonna say, okay. I can try to set it up after breakfast. And
good, you do that and stop talking to me now.
And she's gonna say, okay.
Wow, what a rude boy.
She is not gonna even recognize, or it doesn't seem like she recognizes it as rude. She just accepts it.
Good. Excellent.
Yeah. And all of your Pokemon follow you. Nebula looks very grumpy about being woken up.
Mm-hmm. That sounds about
Avicii,
right.
The Torchics are following Avicii. And
sure.
Yeah, and then remind me who your other Pokemon is.
Jitters is probably like on my shoulder right now.
Yeah. Jitters is on you. So you all are at breakfast now. And Eris is going to bring up the idea again. She's going to say, did you guys want to do Fisk already said that he would, but did you guys still want to do that battle to see which order we'd pick our starters in?
Oh, yeah, sure. It sounds like that would be fun. And, you know, the test of our, you know, where we're standing right now.
Yeah.
Smoochum will murder the competition.
I'm sorry, what was that?
Desk an accident.
And
I said, oh boy, I hope Addison does well.
Love your hair, hope you win.
And Rodney's gonna like lean over to the table to you, Jack, and he's gonna like whisper, Smoochum's got this, and give you a fist bump. Or like go to give you a fist bump.
And Smoochum's gonna jump in between us and intercept the fist bump.
And he's gonna love that. He's into it. He's like hell yeah, and he smiles at the Smoochum. Yeah, it's cute. Okay, so dinner or breakfast happens, and Oscar leads everybody to the arena that they have in the back. Nice. He's going to say, how do you guys want, or he's going to say, I can ref if you guys want. I love battling stuff. So he says it like that too. Like a, yeah. I love battling stuff so much.
Have you guys seen My Hero Academia?
He's 13. So, or he's 13 ish.
Rodney is 13.
Oscar.
Oh, I thought this was Rodney for some reason.
Oh, okay. I totally thought this was Rodney.
Here's the tea. Troy needs to learn how to do voices, especially since we have this many NPCs traveling with you guys at this time.
Gotcha.
I'm gonna end myself.
Okay, but Dan, can I repeat my question of have you guys seen My Hero Academia?
Yeah.
I break my fingers every day just to be stronger.
Okay. Yeah,
but you know that fucking seal dude? Who's, like, super kawaii desu, but also, like, a Navy commander.
I forget what his name is.
I don't know.
His quirk is called... Oh, Selkie!
Yeah, that one.
Is there... So how do you guys want to go about deciding who fights who?
I was gonna ask that, actually, yeah. Addison Wang, well, how do you think we should decide? Should we draw straws? Should we roll dice? Should we... Pick cards from a deck or something. I feel like it should be random for the most part.
I agree.
Well, how about for the sake of metagaming, we play dice?
That's what I was thinking.
Works for me!
How are we gonna go about that, though?
We roll, like, 1D4? One or two d6s. And, like, we can have the highest roller pick their first opponent or something.
Oh! Okay, yeah, let's do that. 1d6. Nope.
1d6?
No, let's do 2d6, because then there's a less chance of everyone getting the same.
I got an 11.
Jack?
Oh, I didn't.
You said 1d6?
2d6.
Yes.
2d6, oh, yeah. Thank you. Wait, no, that's not right.
That doesn't make sense, Dan.
My page didn't refresh, and it gave me the last roll from last session.
Okay. I was going to say, Dan Crab Fallon. Nope. Dan, bleep that out. Well, I mean, like, you can... It's your choice.
Five.
Okay, so... Addison picks first, then... Or, Addison picks.
Yeah. Addison picks their opponent first, and then the other two remaining...
Yeah. And then it's this double elimination, so whoever loses fights each other, and then whoever wins fights each other.
Okay. Okay. Yeah, Addison will sort of look between the three of you, and he'll sort of go over his notes in his journal. This is a tough one. What would he pick?
This is a toughie. I'm sorry.
He will pick Fisk. He'll sort of turn to Fisk and smile and say, you know, I think it would be almost therapeutic for us to battle each other. So you'll be my choice.
Sure, let's do that. I'm going to trust that this has nothing to do with the fact that your team, like, just straight up dicks mine out of character.
Well, Addison kind of knows that a little bit in character too.
I'm gonna say, hey, Fisk.
But I'm not going to admit that in character because I don't know, pride or some shit. Who knows?
I'm gonna say, hey, Fisk, you're gonna do great, and then walk over to Addison and whisper, murder him.
That sounds about right.
And but I'm gonna whisper it loud enough that everyone in the room can hear it.
Oh, good.
Eris is gonna turn to you, Dan, Jack, and say, that means we get to battle.
Yay!
Yay! And then she goes in for a high five.
Ow. And then I also high-five her, but Smoochum jumps in the middle and intercepts.
And she loves that. She pulls up both her hands so she can take the other one.
Yeah.
Yeah. It's very cute. Okay, so I'm going to bring you guys. Who wants to? So I'm assuming Addison and Fisk will go first.
Addison was actually about to add. He says, well, I got to pick my opponent first, so would you two like to go first? Or I don't particularly have a preference.
Oh, sure.
Yeah, I don't care. I'm up for whatever.
Yeah.
It's all about having fun.
Yeah.
And potentially plotting the course of our journey.
And she... So... You guys go into your spots in the arena, like on either side. Dan, you go on the same side that you went on last time. Or Eris goes to the opposite side, so you end up on the same side you were on last time. And you can move your... You should be able to move your figures.
Give me one sec, though.
My whole computer is, like, super mega frozen, so...
It's okay. It's not a it's not a huge deal. It's mostly just for, like... "Quote unquote melee-y stuff, you know. It might matter with Lulu, but Oscar, as you guys are like getting ready, Oscar is going to say this will be a one Pokemon at a time, 3v3 battle, using League rules, so no moves, trainers.
Okay, works for me."
And also, Dan, if you want, because it's just going to be one, I'm not going to create two more for Eris's Pokemon. So this one that's just called NPC2 Glameow is going to be all three of her Pokemon. Because she can't have more than one out at a time anyways. Or, like, battling at a time anyways for this. So.
Yeah. Our Pokemon battles will be continued on the next episode.
Thank you for listening to Platinum Legends. You can follow us on Twitter @PlatLegends to find out about any updates we might have.